This is Rod Peterson on Demand. No!
The Stars offered me box seats, luxury box suites for game 7? I think it was game 6. And I said, hey, Stanley Cup could get handed out tonight. I've always wanted to be in the building when the Stanley Cup gets handed out. And she said, we came down here for George Strait. We're going to George Strait.
How about that?
So I walked out of Cowboys Stadium and I'm like, hey, who won the Stars game? Who won the Stars game? It's Dallas in 2000. No, the who, the what? And I'm like, this wouldn't have happened in Winnipeg. They know.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Welcome to the RP Show. Welcome to Canada's daytime sports talk show and your favorite, I'm sure. I'm Rod and he's Darren. How you doing, Dupes?
I'm really good.
Turning your ringer off, I'm guessing?
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Perfect.
You know the drill.
We're starting to know each other very well here through 322 shows. It's episode number 322 today as we open a brand new week. And we're pretty happy because our teams won on NFL Week 2 Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, how about those Cowboys?
How about those Cowboys?
I can't believe it. I mean, is Mike McCarthy a genius now?
No. Stop. Oh, boy, we got a lot to unpack and get into today. And coming up on the program today, it's a jam-packed show. How can you tell producer Clark is back from holidays in the BC Mountains?
Oh, yeah.
Four guests coming up today. Mike Abou-Meshrig, I'm excited about all of them, but Abu, one of my closest friends, 10-year CFL veteran, University of Western Ontario product, Hall of Famer. As a matter of fact, a Toronto kid, Mike Abou-Meshrig will be with us talking NFL, CFL, whatever comes up. As a matter of fact, I think he just walked in the building.
Right.
Nothing like being on time. Dustin Nielsen from TSN 1260 Edmonton is going to be with us. Mike Morreale, you would think he's coming to talk CFL, but he's not. He's the commissioner of the CEBL, Canadian Elite Basketball League, and we'll talk to Mike about plans for their third season. And Garrick Jones, the commish!
Oh, yeah.
Very much looking forward to Garrick Jones, CFL, NFL veteran. He has started a campaign to become the general manager of the Houston Texans. And the fact that they're 0-2 hasn't hurt his cause,
oh, no.
If you've noticed. And you knew they were going to fall apart. You just knew it.
Yeah.
And it's happening. And the commission will be joining us to talk about his campaign coming up later on in hour two. But let's go with the quick six show topics. All right, Director Jordan, let's fire it up. It's a sad one to start, but I have to, and I made it the number one point. Melfort Mustangs player Dylan Ash was killed over the weekend. I believe it was overnight Saturday. We've got a photo of Dylan that I asked Clark to put up. Do you have it, Clark? There it is. Brief. There it is. Is that a hockey player or what?
Oh, yeah.
And that is obviously in the sticks of what we down here refer to Northern Saskatchewan. Dylan lost his life over the weekend. The Mustangs are grieving. His family is grieving. Funeral arrangements pending, last I heard. Our thoughts are with the Ash family. I understand we're not the only province in Canada that just seems to suffer tragedy after tragedy in junior hockey. I know we're not the only ones, but dang, enough's enough. Make it stop. So, again, our condolences to the Ash family. I've been in touch with them and offering support. Just make it stop, man. Make it stop.
Yeah, it's tough.
So moving on, point two, week two, obviously in the National Football League, I mentioned that our teams won, my Cowboys, your Titans, and they were both nail biters. Yours not to the degree that ours was with Dallas, but you were sweating. You had to have been sweating against the Jaguars.
Oh, yeah. And when you say it wasn't a nail biter, we always kind of felt that, okay, the Jags are really, you know, pushing us to the end here, but we will find a way to win because, I mean, the Titans are a much better team this year than they have been in the past, and the Jags are the Jags, but... Man, Gardner Minshew, how can you not like watching that guy play football?
I know.
I mean, he's so much fun to watch. And, you know, I know there's Titans fans that were upset on Twitter that all the highlight pack was Minshew, 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 and then a game-winning Titans field goal when Ryan Tannehill threw for four touchdowns. But, I mean, Minshew's the story. He's so much fun to watch. But, yeah, it's nice to be 2-0.
And producer Clark's Falcons lose. It just so happened to be in the same game as my Dallas Cowboys. And to be honest... You're not supposed to take pleasure from other people's pain. You're not.
No.
I think that makes you a bad person if you do. So why, when I read the Falcons' Twitter feed, did I get tingles? Laughing. Shades of the 28-3 blown lead in the Super Bowl. That's what Falcons fans were bringing up yesterday with them blowing the lead against the Dallas Cowboys. Anyways, we're getting hung up on point two. But those were some of our highlights. Point three, more. The Sunday night game. Russell Wilson, Cam Newton. I was on the air with a snowman this morning in North Carolina. He asked me if I watched it. And I said, yes. I pulled my head out of Netflix long enough to catch some of the big plays. That was kind of a shot for shot, heavyweight battle. Seahawks, Patriots on Sunday night. What happened? It just got dark in here. But we're good now.
All right.
But as I said to the snowman, I'm not sure Tom Brady's Patriots could go into Seattle in primetime and put on a better showing than Cam Newton's Patriots did.
I know. It was so much fun to watch that game. And you're right. It was shot for shot. And, you know, Cam Newton, you know, doing what he does best and the rushing touchdowns and everything. And you just thought on that last play of the game that he was just going to find a way to get in. And what a fitting end to that Sunday night game it would have been for Cam Newton to get in the end zone, right? You know, on the two-yard quarterback sneak is improbably. He drove him down the field, down by 5 points, but they missed the block, and he got stopped. And, you know, that was just a very entertaining game.
I'll tell you what, I want Mike Abou-Meshrick's take on Cam Newton lining up in shotgun on, what was it, third and goal from the one?
Yeah, like they typically, when the quarterback's going to, you know, run the football, you put him under center, but not Cam Newton. He's almost like another running back in the Wildcat formation. That's how big he is and strong and athletic he is with his legs, and it works. But, you know.
Not on that play.
Not on that play. The fullback, you know, got blown up first, and they couldn't get in.
So, Abu, had you been here a little earlier, we'd have had you in the bunker right now. Explaining it. Look at him. Now he feels, just show up a little early and we'd have had you in here. So in the next segment, I want you to explain that. Point four, here's one. It was sent to me on the weekend by my good friend Ron Podbelski, the ratings for September. Television ratings in Canada. Did you happen to see that? He sent it through Facebook. Everybody could see it.
Yeah.
Did you open it? The Raptors playoff ratings are destroying the Stanley Cup playoffs. Now, the Raptors are now out. I would not have thought that. Because let's think about this for a second. This is not normal NBA season time either. I could get that the NFL week one might have smashed the NHL. I get that. But the Raptors. And nothing against the Raptors, by the way. But it's still Canada. I was stunned.
I think we're
is this a trend?
We're not a sucker, but
or a fad.
I think it's the story. I think we're into the story, and I think with the Raptors, I think this year over any other, I think we were kind of galvanized as a country to see if they could do it without Kawhi. And they had such a good regular season, and you know they were one of the favorites for, you know, the NBA championship, one of the contenders, I guess. And we all wanted to see, can they do it without Kawhi? And kind of getting behind this underdog-style Raptors team that had a real shot. So I think that's why people watched more than normal, and I think there's still a little bit of momentum from that NBA championship.
We are in the warm-up right now going through our quick six show topics, but I will stop for a minute and answer some questions. Mandy Donald's watching in Edmonton, the City of Champions, and she says, any CFL talk or news today? Did you hear any?
No.
Nope. We will be talking, though, about the CFL sim coming up, but there's maybe when Dustin Nielsen comes on, maybe Abu's got some. He just laughed. No, there's nothing. They canceled the season, if you hadn't heard. We do have a viewer in Norway. The first of our 19 daily viewers in Norway have checked in. Bjarni Eikinger says, top of the morning from Norway. Isn't it 6:09 p.m. in Norway?
It is.
Hello, Bjarni.
But he's tuned in that it's morning here.
I'm trying to think of my Norwegian terms. Lutefisk. Krumkaka. All right. Sounds dirty, doesn't it? Point six. As I said, it is still Canada. The Stanley Cup finals going on, don't you know? I was watching it at a socially distance safe house party on Saturday night. More of a dinner gathering, Darren. Us mucky mucks gathered around the pool and watched game one of the Stanley Cup final. Dallas beat Tampa 1-0. We had one eye on the game. A lot of the talk had to do with coronavirus and COVID controls, of course. 4-1, Dallas beat Tampa Bay in game one of the Stanley Cup. They were outshot 36-20 in the game. It really doesn't compute or make any sense. And my prediction that the Tampa Bay Lightning would win the Stanley Cup, win the championship, took a major blow with that game one outing. And it's, you're saying, it's only one game. I'm trying to tell myself that. And then I go to NHL PR and see that teams that win game one in the Stanley Cup over the last 80 years are 61-19 in the series. Go on to win. 61 out of 79 times. 61 out of 80 times they go on to win. That's how important game one is of the Stanley Cup. Isn't that big?
It matters.
Yeah.
It matters in a big, big way. And Tampa puts a lot of shots on net, though, too. They shoot from everywhere. So sometimes, you know, those stats are a little misleading on the gameplay. But, no, Anton Hudobin has been outstanding for Dallas in net, right?
Star.
Oh, he's been the star on the ice, and he's been the star on social media with those locker room videos that you've seen of him with the big chain, you know, rallying his team with the Russian, the deep Russian accent. So great.
It is so great, and that's, by the way, you and I are big on marketing and branding. This in sports, they've said it forever. How do you spell marketing? W-I-N. But you can't, not everybody wins, don't you know? Because if you're not winning, you can't stop marketing.
Right.
But when it goes this far, guys like Anton Hudobin become stars. So I'm sorry, I just need to continue. Mandy in Edmonton just tagged on her comment. She says, I thought maybe there might be a business plan or new leadership announced. Not today. With the Canadian Football League, Mandy, but I appreciate it. Chris Bird in Toronto writes, John Liu of TSN has contracted COVID. The comment just slipped off the screen. I saw it. It's all over Twitter this morning. John, here it is. John Liu of TSN has contracted COVID-19. Bad case, too. Thoughts and prayers with him and his family. It's wild. We love John. He's been a regular on this program on Montreal Sports. I don't know what to say about that. Actually, I do. No COVID rant here. I got a message this morning from somebody who said, I understand there's going to be an announcement with sports return to play today, amateur sports. Have you heard anything? No, what I've heard is the cases are up in most regions across this country, and therefore I don't expect any announcement at all. I'm sorry. I don't expect any gatherings above 30, 50, you name it, depending on the region. No sporting events, period, until a vaccine is found and starts being distributed. I know we're hijacking the Quick Six show topics here, but Darren, I'm sorry. The government is not budging. So if you want to find a way to play sports, you're going to have to find a way to do it safely, present a plan to the government, which I know a lot of leagues are doing, within the framework of what they're doing. But don't expect them to bend the rules for you, because they're not going to. I talked to a university football parent. His son plays. And I thought, hey, I heard the Huskies and Rams were going to play. They're practicing right now, U of S and the U of R. He goes, well, the plan was they're going to play, but now they're not going to play. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, completely. And this is, I know there's a lot of people that want to play, and that's great. I'm one of them. I want sports to play. But you need to start with the mindset that, look at, this is a pandemic, and we need to do this safely. Everybody wants to play sports, and then, okay, well, we'll play sports. We want to play sports first and kind of do it the same way we always have. I don't want to get dressed for hockey at home, and you know what I mean? I want to stay and have beers after in the locker room and all that kind of stuff. Start with accepting that this is the case. And like you said, just put a plan together so that you can get back to playing. Because I think the government wants people to play sports too, but they have to consider the safety side of it first.
Yep. So again, to those leagues that want to play, find a way to do it. The NHL and NBA did it with the bubbles. Maybe major junior teams are going to have to find a bubble. I don't know. You know they're working on it. But if the plan is expecting the government to bend the rules, or that the cases were going to go down by December and that's when we're going to start playing, that's not happening. That's what I've discerned as of late. Whether I agree with it or not doesn't matter, because I heard a story of a guy. I talked to him over the weekend that had to do a mandatory COVID test. Turned out he had it, and he didn't even feel anything. He was stunned, but he had to take a test. Complete opposite of John Liu, which tells you that this affects different people in different ways.
Yeah.
Like any virus. Anyways, I'll move on. But on that Stanley Cup final talk, our poll question today for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center is, are you watching the Stanley Cup final? What would you vote, Darren?
I'd vote yes.
Okay.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, well, I voted yes, of
Good.
Course.
Good.
The responses are yes, of course, or no, I've moved on. 62% of people have moved on. Apparently, they're watching Schitt's Creek.
Big show.
Well, Stanley Cup ratings are falling. They're being beaten by the Raptors, and I'm watching, you're watching, but the majority of respondents here, and it looks like Canadians, are not. I'll talk about Schitt's Creek in a moment, but our last one is 0.6. Chaos in the CFL Sim, the eSports League. We're on Game Plus. It's a gaming channel, so stick with me. Our computer-generated game Friday night. We had a huge viewership. You and I were calling it. We had a live studio audience. Calgary and Saskatchewan went to overtime in virtual Mosaic Stadium. When the clocks hit zero, a brawl broke out. The highlights are on Twitter. A 12-on-12 brawl. We can't plan it. We didn't like it. I literally understand how a commissioner feels now. We don't want this. End this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Perspective. I say it all the time. When I was in the booth calling brawls in my broadcast play-by-play career, it's like, keep going all night. This is awesome. Commissioners are sitting there going, no, no, no. Perspective.
Perspective.
Anyways, if you're watching Cobra Kai, you guys still got that back there? We've related it to the Calgary Stampeders and Bo Levi Mitchell, the martial arts continuation of Karate Kid on Netflix. So Saskatchewan kicks a field goal in overtime to go up 16-13. And on the first play of overtime for Calgary, Bo Levi just stepped on the rider's neck. Finish him, as they say in Cobra Kai. First play, boom, 35 yards to Michael Klukas. Game over. Bo Levi strolls out of Mosaic Stadium with the black hat on, if you will. They won in overtime, 19-16.
Bo was in the tunnel. The ball was still in the air.
He was gone. One play.
Threw it.
Finish him.
Gone.
No mercy. Hi. Cobra Kai. We move to week 16. Calgary's way out in front at 11-3. Jeff, the Stamps fan, writes in and says, has the league investigated who in the Riders organization was responsible for that brawl? Man, we had a lot of fun with it. Close to 10,000 views of it, by the way. And climbing.
Oh, yeah.
So John in Kansas City is watching. He says the brawl was a classic. Any suspensions yet? No, we've deemed no suspensions.
Yeah.
Some last ones here before we break. How much time left, gents, before we break and warm up? Okay, and we bring in Abu. I mentioned John Liu has coronavirus. Not cool. Get well soon, John. Point two, John Chick was the rock star of Friday's program, by the way, for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. John Chick just, well, he went into scripture verses, talked about the Jaguars. It was awesome. Thank you, J-Bone. Blue Jays won to snap a six-game losing streak. Man, if they lost their game at the wrong time. Monday Night Football tonight, Saints at Raiders. We'll be watching.
Yep.
Chase Claypool is the talk of the NFL. Longest touchdown ever by a Canadian, ever. Forget about a rookie or anything. 84 yards, Chase Claypool. And the last point, Schitt's Creek sweeps the Comedy Awards at the Emmys last night. No, I wasn't watching, but I was following on Twitter, and I loved the show, and people are crapping all over Schitt's Creek. Yes, I meant to do it. And I don't know why. I went into that series because we were running out of Netflix series, and my wife's like, let's just try this Schitt's Creek. And I'm like, well, you know what? I like Eugene Levy, so yeah, let's try it. But I went in with a chip on my shoulder expecting not to like it.
Right.
I came out totally loving it. Hilarious. Especially in this COVID time where you need a side splitter, a rib tickler. It does it for you.
It's
very funny.
It's completely one of those that you don't need to get into. You know what I mean? Like, you're watching Animal, you're into Animal Kingdom or
yeah.
What you're into every single storyline. But with Schitt's Creek, you can be into it, but it's kind of like the last half hour before bed. Just shut your mind off, laugh, have fun, and enjoy it.
My favorite part of Schitt's Creek is Daniel Levy, the son,
yep.
Ends all his sentences like my kids. The coffee's cold, so... You know what I mean? You don't have a plan for tonight, so... He ends every sentence with, so... We're going to break in a booze coming in next, so... It's just funny the way he does it.
Yeah.
This has been the warm-up, so... We'll be right back with Abu and Dustin Nielsen. It's the RP Show on Game Plus Network across North America and around the world on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Okay, welcome back to the program, everybody, and here we go. It's a Monday morning get-together. Thanks for joining us for coffee today, Caliber Coffee, and whatever you're make of coffee is. We have a sports update coming up. And on the way, Mike Morielli, Garrick Jones, the commish, and Dustin Nielsen of TSN 1260 Edmonton. But we got Mike Abou-Meshwick in studio. And I'll say it again, for the viewers that are new to Abou, he's a Toronto kid, played at Western, 10 years in the CFL, Grey Cup champion, and now we've claimed him in Western Canada. How are you doing, Abou?
Great.
Does that cover it?
Oh, sorry, yeah. And I'd like to represent the rest of Canada and comment on that first segment. You can't believe that the Stanley Cup playoff, do they still play? Are they still playing hockey now? I thought that
what,
was
because the Leafs are out?
I thought that was over once the Leafs were done. It was, and then the Jets, and then the Canucks. So yeah, this is Canada, so they're watching a Canadian team play sports. I'm sitting over there steaming, watching that first segment, and Rod, this is Canada. From she to shining sea, from Alberta to Manitoba, our Canada. Oh, wait a minute.
There's
some other parts too.
The NHL has historically ruled the roost for television ratings. I don't care what time of year it is for the Stanley Cup playoffs, and this year they're not. But I guess that shouldn't really surprise anybody. Surprising me a little bit.
And congratulations again for your top two teams making the finals again. It's funny how that's every year your two favorite teams make it to the end.
Who, Dallas and Tampa?
Or whoever it is that year.
Yeah. I wasn't cheering for Dallas, by the way. And nobody had Dallas picked to make the Stanley Cup final. And by the way, we're going to get to Cam Newton lining up in shotgun on third and one to win the game and getting stuffed. Are we going to get into that? But let me ask you this. It's a good point you brought up there. Washington Capitals fire their coach because they lose in the Stanley Cup playoffs to the Islanders. Do you not think in 2020, COVID situation and the bubble, you should get a pass if your team loses?
No,
is this extenuating circumstances.
No passes. This is sure, excuses and passes. Sure, you can hand those out. But Ken Miller, Coach Ken Miller, one of the greatest, maybe the greatest coach.
Good
of all
morning,
time.
Riders.
What's the opposite of good?
Great.
Boom. What are you trying to do? Be good? No.
It's pro sports. It's no excuses.
You're trying to be great. And the opposite of good is great. Some people are just good. And that's okay.
I just don't think the public, the adoring public, understands this concept, even though we pound it home to them almost every day. But John Murphy, Toronto Argonauts assistant GM, told me in the spring, nobody's given us a pass if we blow the draft, even though we didn't have a combine or face-to-face interviews.
Yep.
And that's the pressure that's in pro sports. So you agree with it? I'm just saying you might want to get a pass because you're living in a bubble out of a hotel, in most NHL teams' case, in another country. Nope. Did you win or not?
Seems simple. Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
You don't even know why I would bring it up.
I don't even
know.
That's the way it is. COVID, no COVID. COVID, if you're playing the games, you got to... You got to play the games. I don't see any problem with that at all.
Yeah, other than the Raptors, you're sitting, Johnny Toronto over here, giving their coach an extension even though they lost in round two to the Celtics. We going to talk about that or no?
Well, I mean, Derek just sat here and said underdog, 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 underdog. And I'm sitting there. Not one time during the year did anyone say underdog. They're saying, yeah, the favorites, Raptors' favorites.
That's
Milwaukee,
right.
Then the Raptors. Milwaukee, then the Raptors. Same thing they did last year. And the Raptors lost the best player in the league. So I don't know why wouldn't Canada be watching? And to be fair, how do we make this culturally sensitive? There's a lot more immigrants. Like my family grew up immigrant family. They're watching basketball. Basketball is probably more... easier to watch or I'm trying to
I don't know about that.
I'm trying to make the soccer argument.
I don't know about
basketball.
No, that's fine. It's fine. Well, hey, you know Mike Richards. Mike Richards Raw came on here last week from Mississauga Radio, Saga 960, and said more kids are talking about the Raptors than they are the Leafs in Southern Ontario. Does the NHL have something to worry about?
No, because it's Canada and there'll always be NHL, but remember when they're having the Raptor games shown off at Mosaic Stadium?
Yeah.
Who was there?
Kids those and new Canadians.
And those are the people that are watching the NBA. Young, new Canadians. Young, comma, new.
How did they do it?
Same way you watch, you click
it's
on.
What they grew up with. Did they grow up with the NBA, new Canadians? I don't know.
Marketing.
I watch hockey.
WIN. Marketing.
Did you like that?
I love it. It's good. Follow the money, baby. Follow the money. And then you don't have to make any decisions. You just follow the money and boom, there's the decision.
Wow, good point. Really good point. Man, did we go off the ditch. Remember Cam Newton?
Speaking of money, yeah, that boy is money.
Cam Newton?
So fun to watch. I was texting with
Even though they didn't win.
Can we talk about our friend, our Patriot friend?
Oh, yeah, Tyler, absolutely.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Yeah, I was texting with him. I'm like, do you still like the Patriots? Or are you?
He loves the Patriots.
He goes, oh, I love them. I'm like, I think I like the Patriots now, too. Their unis are clean. They're fresh. They're just like, they have energy. They're I mean, they're not. I don't think they're going to win anything, but they're just fun to watch, you know? You got a wet garbage bag and Cam Newton.
Pause for a second. Chris Bird in Toronto, the Argos fan, says, the Raptors have the attention of the cohort that the CFL wants so badly.
Everyone.
So just, I know, everybody wants it, but the CFL needs it because they're the ones that are in trouble right now. So we'll come back on how the CFL should get those, that group. Okay. I was not going to pull a Don Cherry there, but that's what they want. How do you get them? I've been told how the Raptors got them, but hang on. Back to Cam Newton. Should they not have lined him up under center on third and goal from the one to win the game?
You know what? There's Bill Belichick knowing, not calling plays, designed for your team and knowing that what the chess pieces do and what they're good at. Normally, if you only want a yard, it drives me crazy when they line up in shotgun with normal quarterbacks, right? If you need this much, why are you lining up 5 yards back to get the ball and then go forward? Quarterback sneaks, sneak, go forward. I mean, that's
it's the National Football League. Why are they not doing that? I don't tell me why they're not doing it.
Well, here's why you don't do it. If the quarterback's going to take this, if sometimes you need more, they needed more than a yard. It's easy to get half a yard on a sneak or a quarter of a yard or a few inches and stuff like that. But when a quarterback takes a snap and turns around, now the running back has vision of the field. He sees where's the hole is, where's everything going, and he's got momentum to hit that line and knock the linebacker backwards. A quarterback that's under center doesn't have it. You can only get a yard or half a yard on a sneak. But when you turn around and now the running back has some vision, again, they can see where the hole is, and then they can run a sucker over if they need to. And so...
You don't have a problem with what they did then?
That's using Cam Newton, you know. That's using a hammer when you've got a hammer. That's not taking your screwdriver and hammering a nail in. That's not taking Tom Brady and running him through the gap. That's taking a defensive lineman that wears number one, that does a Superman thing, and going downhill. So, yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense for them, not everybody.
That's why I'm asking you, because you've been in that position, but there was nobody in the backfield but Cam. So all of a sudden, there's a lot of element of surprise is gone. Correct.
That drives me insane. As an offensive lineman, you're declaring your hand, right? But are you with Cam Newton as the guy back there? If there's no running backs in the backfield, it's a pass. It's got to be a pass. There's no one. It's not a run.
Or quarterback.
Or Cam Newton coming downhill, 260 pounds of fluorescent yellow hat.
He wasn't close. I didn't feel he was close to getting it.
Well, now we're playing that. You're right. Now we're playing that game. All right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, the second guess game.
I don't know how to do that yet. It's a good call. Yeah. I mean,
so if he got in the end zone, it's a great call. That's usually my argument, that football's the ultimate hindsight game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I won't comment. That was a good call. I mean, that he's upside down and probably has got a bruise on his quad this morning, the size of South Central Saskatchewan,
right,
which is all of it.
So, by the way, Nelson writes, and this is interesting. If you guys can put it up, it's our VP of Sim Events, Nelson Hackowich. He says, the Raptors are exciting. Two deep playoff pushes, one championship. They're easy to get behind. As far as new Canadians are concerned, they have an ambassador like Nav Bhatia, who has been a season ticket holder from day one and has created a brand of his own, just being a Raptors fan. That's a really good point. Now, our buddy Luke... He's a Torontonian like yourself. You guys would call themselves that, but that's what you are.
You know what else we are?
What?
First-generation Canadians.
But he said...
Boom.
He said the Raptors went out to those outlying communities 20 years ago when they were bad, spoke in schools, did community events.
Pinball Clement changed me from being an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman over to offensive lineman.
How?
Hey, you, go over and work over
there. No, tell me the scenario.
We're at the Les Bird Camp, and anyone that's over 45 to 55, the Les Bird Camp at Centennial, the Centennial Camp. It was the best camp ever. Ever. Everyone from Toronto went there, and like, you know, you tied up your jacks, your guns, you got all your new gear, and everyone just kind of like...
This is the 80s, right?
It's 80s, and I'm down with the ladies. Cool, what are you, cool moldy? Yeah, it was... Yeah, I think everyone was like that everywhere. You had the black visor with the black everything, black,
right.
With the NWA logo. Anyways, and all the Argos went there, and... I mean, all the universities were there. Like, there was some, a lot of, like, Michigan State. Everyone was there. It was just such a great camp. And we're doing one-on-one drills. And I was a defensive lineman. And, well, think of me and think of Luke. There's a whole bunch of Lukes being really athletic and stuff like that. And there's me, just like a plug, right? Pinball said, you line up on that side, and you line up on this side. And then you switched us around so that I was the offensive lineman and he was a defensive lineman. And then we went, it was a defensive lineman drill. And then he goes, that's what I thought. Go down and work out with those guys. And so then I had to go down and work out with the offensive lineman.
And a pro career was born.
Right, yep, yep.
By the way, Jeff in Calgary, the Stamps fan, says basketball is a true worldwide game. Hockey isn't. But hey... That's what Randy Ambrosi's trying to do. And I'm not saying that facetiously. That's Randy's goal.
Hey, Rob, let's go play some basketball after this.
Sure.
What do we need?
A ball and a hoop.
And you and me.
That's it.
Yeah, same with soccer.
We can also play hockey one-on-one.
Hey, man, what do we need to play hockey?
A net.
An ice.
True.
A stick.
We need a net. We don't even need ice. We'll be back.
A puck.
Dustin Nielsen joins us after this, and on the way, the commish, Garrick Jones, and Mike Morreale. It's the RP Show. You're watching across around North America on Game Plus TV Network, and you're listening and watching around the world on the Rod Peterson Broadcasting Network.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rob.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. We are live on Game Plus TV and across Alberta and BC on TELUS Optic Television. I got to get that out there for our next guest. And by the way, there was breaking news this morning from the CEBL. We wondered why Mike Morreale is on today, the commissioner of the Canadian Elite Basketball League. Producer Clark telling us they've announced expansion going to Calgary for the CEBL. So that's coming up with Mike Morreale. But we're going to Edmonton, home of the CEBL champion Stingers, where TSN 1260's Dustin Nielsen joins us on video chat this morning. How you doing, Dusty?
Hey, I'm good, man. Thanks for having me again.
The guys are all wondering why you're a Detroit Lions fan and how that started and why is it continuing, especially after this 0-2 start.
Yeah, that's, I ask myself the same question. Why am I continuing to be a Detroit Lions fan? The reason I am a Detroit Lions fan is because in the early 90s, I was a 10, 11-year-old kid when Tecmo Super Bowl came out, and Barry Sanders was an unbelievable running back on that game. So that was my team in the game. That became my team overall. Barry Sanders was my first favorite player in the National Football League. And then, of course, he had enough of Detroit, retired early. And then Calvin Johnson came along. Megatron was unbelievable, one of the best wide receivers ever to play the game. He had enough of Detroit, retired early, and now we're sitting here watching Matthew Stafford get the crap beat out of him every single week, and I still wonder if I'll ever get to watch anything of significance with my own team.
Have you ever been to a game in the Pontiac Silverdome or Ford Field? See them play at home?
No, I have not. It's on the list, I guess, of things to do once we can travel again, but it's weird, because do I really want to plan a trip to Detroit to go watch my team lose by 30 at home? I'm not sure I do. If I could find maybe a better spot and a team that they might be able to beat, that might be the best way to go about it.
Well, a lot of our viewers will know who the legendary Bernie Smilovich is, sportscaster from WDIV Detroit. We grew up, that was our cable Detroit channel, NBC, in this town here where I live. And he says the Lions are by far and away number one in that town, more than the Red Wings, more than the Tigers. So why, I don't know, but that's pretty cool. Moving on, Dustin. Would Edmontonians know that the NHL is being, the Stanley Cup's being waged in their backyard? Is there a vibe? Do you feel it? Or do you have to turn on your television to learn that?
Oh, buddy, there's zero buzz here, man. Like, None at all whatsoever. I mean, there's been times I've been watching the game. I don't even remember that it's here at Edmonton. So, I mean, outside of the media coming here to town and our local guys having an opportunity to go to the games, there's no playoff buzz in this city at all. Like, none at all. Even when we talk about it on my show, I mean, there's not a lot of people who are very interested in the Lightning and Stars, which personally I think has a chance to be a really good series and maybe one of the better series that we've seen so far in the playoffs. So I'm very much looking forward to this series. But in this market, in this town, there's no buzz for the National Hockey League. Like, none at all whatsoever right now.
So do you find that weird? I mean, nobody knew how this would go. It's never happened before, but do you find it weird? Because you know going in when they were to decide what the bubble cities were, Edmonton people seemed to want it. You know, but of course they get it.
Well, and now certain people wanted it for sure. I mean, the guys who were going after it, OED and you know the premier and you know Don Iveson, they all said really good things about it. But at the time, I mean, I just looked at it. The National Hockey League should have come here because it was an extremely safe place to come, and all the facilities are right downtown, and it's a great setup. But at the same time, I know there was a lot of people who have been texting in and saying the buzz here for Edmonton is going to be terrific. And you know, maybe there's some tourism downfall somewhere along the way where somebody said, hey, wow, River Valley in Edmonton is great in the summer. Maybe we'll go there. And I know I've had some people, and I've been critical of maybe that's not going to happen. I've had some people text into my show and say, that's insane. You don't know how tourism works. You know, next summer, everybody could be coming here just to see where the National Hockey League had been. And if that happens, that's great. I'm not going to hold my breath for it. Because when we can all travel again, look, I love Edmonton. I've been here for 11 years now. I don't know, no rush to leave. I love this place, but when we're allowed to travel all around the world again, are people who are watching the National Hockey League playoffs going to come to here to visit Edmonton when they could go anywhere that they haven't been allowed to go in a year? I find that hard to believe. So, you know, I'm not surprised by it, to be honest with you. This is an Oilers town through and through. Like, people in this city love the Edmonton Oilers. I could go on the air and say, hey, it's 7:20 in the morning. Let's talk about the Oilers' 13th forward next year. And we take phone calls for an hour. But as far as the rest of the National Hockey League goes, you know, there's not a ton of passion for that here, right?
I'm actually glad that you pointed that out, because the great Terry Jones at large, said that to me one time. We were sitting around having a coffee, and he just said, listen, in Edmonton, it's 365 days a year, 24/7 Oilers, and Eskimos for 6 months. But for 6 months, go away. And I flipped that to Saskatchewan, where it's Riders 365 days a year. And as far as Pats, my beloved team, it's just that season and then the rest of the year, go away. And also, you know, they're not that big on other teams around here or following the league for the most part. Doesn't. I totally get what you're saying. Now, though, does the NHL have a problem, or is it a one-off that they're getting smashed by the NBA in ratings, particularly Raptors games? I mean, that was just brought to my attention on the weekend. Is this a one-off, do you think?
No, I don't know. I mean, the Raptors for sure. I mean, no matter what, the Raptors in this country, after the run they went on last year, and you know, the following they have in Toronto and across the country, I think it might be a trend until we see a Canadian team go on a deep run in the National Hockey League playoffs. I mean, it's been since the Habs won it in 93, and we've had some fun runs along the way, obviously. The Senators, the Flames, the Oilers, obviously, took a run at it as well. So we've had, and those have been great. I'm sure ratings then were terrific, but ratings right now, I wouldn't read too much into for a couple of different reasons. One, I mean, not all of the star talent, but the big names, Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, the Toronto Maple Leafs, they're out, the Montreal Canadiens, sure, they weren't going to win the Stanley Cup this year, but why do you think they even got in this thing? Because of the TV market. So, you know, there's really not a lot of reasons for Canadians to watch the Stanley Cup final, except for it, of course, being hockey. On the other side, with the NBA, the Raptors, obviously a huge push. And then you look at what's left there, and you've got Jamal Murray, a Canadian, huge star talent. And then you've got LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who obviously, I mean, one of them's the face of the NBA, and the other one's one of the best players in the league. And on the other side, you've got a legendary franchise in the Boston Celtics. So, you know, I would think we might see that trend continue, to be honest with you, until we see a Canadian team kind of steal the spotlight back. And it doesn't even have to be all the way to win the Stanley Cup, get to the Cup or get to a conference final. And I'm sure that, and have it happen in the spring and late spring, early summer, when it usually happens, Rod. Like, it's such a weird time for sports right now that I'm trying not to read too much into any of this stuff.
I know, but that's, you know, that the teams and the leagues do. They read everything into it. They live in the now all the time. Sometimes I wish they could just back up and just look at a bigger picture. By the way, Colin in Ottawa writes in, he says, in quotation marks, show me the hotel where the Stanley Cup champion Dallas Stars stayed at, is a phrase no one will ever utter, ever.
Well, that's
not true, though. I've walked down Jasper 20 years ago and said, in front of the Mac, and said, oh, Mike Modano sat on that bench and had a coffee. Wow. But I'm a super dork that way. You were going to say? Sorry?
No, I think that's the point. Like, these players were just locked into a bubble downtown. It's not like you're going to, you know, let's go run the path that Tyler Seguin ran down the River Valley in Edmonton. Like, I had a couple of people say, well, I've got family members from Ontario who are going to come out because of what they've been watching on hockey. Then he also said, you know, they usually come out at least once a year anyway. So, you know, I think this is what this has done is shown that the people involved can pull off a near flawless event here in Edmonton downtown. And I think that's the big thing that you have to take away from it moving forward. And they're going to get a chance to do it again with the World Juniors, you know, operate basically in the same way. And that should go over very smoothly as well.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, we look forward to that. Dustin, it's been far too long, but this is a fantastic update. Thank you so much. Go Lions. If you change teams, we'll take in the Cowboys Nation. And keep up everything. You might want to try Schitt's Creek again. I hear it's good.
Well, I might have to. But with that being said, if I don't like a show that somebody else likes, that's okay, too. Which we all seem to forget.
Exactly. Thanks, Dusty.
Thanks, Matt.
A sports update before we bring Abu back in here for a viewer takeover next segment. Anthony Davis made a three-pointer as time expired to give the Lakers a 105-103 victory over the Denver Nuggets in a 2-0 lead in the NBA's Western Conference Finals. The Blue Jays finally got back into the win column with a 6-3 victory over the Philadelphia Phillies Sunday. That snapped a six-game losing streak. Taiwan Walker gave Toronto six strong innings on the mound, and a two-run blast from Teoscar Hernandez helped the Jays avoid a four-game sweep from Philly. Tanner Houck took a no-hitter into the sixth inning of his second major league start, and Michael Chavis had a huge day at the plate as the Red Sox halted two long streaks with a 10-2 victory against the Yankees. Boston ended New York's 10-game win streak and snapped a 12-game slide of their own against New York. Bryson DeChambeau continued to smash the ball off the tee for distance until he became this year's U.S. Open champion. He shot a nearly flawless 3-under-67, the only round under par by anyone at Wingfoot to capture America's championship by six strokes. And feeding off of one of the largest crowds at a sporting event during the pandemic, Kevin Harvick steamrolled his way into the second round of NASCAR's playoffs in a championship that is clearly his to lose. Harvick held off a charging Kyle Busch over the final 40 laps Saturday night at Bristol Motor Speedway for his career best and Cup Series high ninth victory of the season. He did it in front of a sold-out crowd of 30,000 fans at Bristol, Tennessee. The sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Saskatchewan's newest entertainment destination, and for Red Bull Canada. Red Bull gives you wings. We'll be back with Abu for a viewer takeover segment right after this. You're watching on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to this show?
You can still chime in from wherever you are in the comment section. As a matter of fact, we encourage that.
What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Okay, here we go with the viewer takeover segment. And I never told you the Prairie Mobile text line is open, by the way. Prairie Mobile is your authorized SaskTel mobility dealer, 306-840-8777. Text me before this thing dies. We never plugged it in over the weekend. We want your thoughts. And on the Facebook Live wall, a viewer in Winnipeg, our friend Tom Halleck watching on Game Plus. Are you awake?
I don't think I was plugged in over the weekend.
Game Plus carried by Bell MTS Cable in Manitoba. Tom informs us, breaking news. A fan who attended the NFL season opening game last week at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, Missouri, tested positive for the novel coronavirus the following day, leading the Kansas City Health Department to direct 10 people to quarantine for potential exposure to the virus. You have thoughts on that?
Great job. That's why they only let so many people in, so that they didn't have to quarantine 70,000 people. They only have to quarantine the 10 that they were there with, and that's why the measures are there. Now, what's going to happen? Everyone's going to freak out, close the doors for everybody, and no one can do anything ever again. No, this guy isn't sick. He has a virus. You have thousands of viruses right now. I have thousands of viruses right now that our immune systems are fighting off. Now, the corona, some people's immune system can't. And I'm not talking, and that sucks. And hopefully none of those people were at a football game. If they are, you know, survival of the fittest, maybe. If you're dumb enough to expose yourself, then that's not what I'm talking about here. But I'm a numbers guy. The more people that get tested, the more people are going to test positive. The percentage of people that are asymptomatic are going to go up. The people that are getting sick are not changing. Percentage-wise, getting smaller. Percentage-wise, getting smaller. Not the number of actual people. These are real people, not percentages. So 10 people, one person getting sick out of 5,000, that's statistically...
That's pretty good.
That's statistically insignificant. One person getting sick isn't even worth looking at because they could have, you know, one person breaks their leg at the football game. Now, does everyone have to like get crutches? No, this person just had an accident or got it somewhere or something. And again, this is why these steps are in place. Keeping your distance, doing all this, doing all that. It's not any more safe or just because someone gets sick doesn't mean it's scrap everything.
Time to lock everything down.
Well, we're locking down for our you know, the 1%, the 2% of our you know, people with the immune systems, right? Those are the people that we have to protect. And hopefully those people are aware that they are those people.
Well, I was listening to an American radio program this morning. It was by the name of Howard Stern. You might have heard of him. And they were applauding Canada for the way they've approached coronavirus in terms of low numbers up here as opposed to the United States. So I'm asking you, I haven't seen you for a long time. How do you feel about 12,000 fans going to a CFL game, or if it's 6,000, whatever, for next year in 2021 or not?
5,000, sure, 2,000. The numbers won't make sense at 2,000 for a CFL game. But I've actually stopped listening to Howard Stern because he is in New York and we are in Canada. And it's a very different, everything's different in New York. I mean, the catching anything that's airborne when people live on top of each other.
I'm not saying he's Walter Cronkite. I'm just saying this is what they were talking about.
I listen too, but it's they're scared of this. They're scared of that. In our country, Alberta to Manitoba.
Catch what he's saying folks.
We've been in a bubble forever. So, I mean, you know, we are taking everything, all the steps seriously, and we don't have people living on top of each other. So naturally it's going. Now, if we start bringing in people from all over, from Toronto, you know, now we've contaminated our beautiful country.
So you say keep it going until what we're doing until when? Until there's a vaccine or no? Just trying to figure where you're at.
People shouldn't live scared. We should keep this going until people aren't scared anymore. But, I mean, we'll save that whole other conversation or why are they making everybody scared. But if you shouldn't be scared to go out. I mean, if you want me to wear a mask, I'll wear a mask.
Same as me. I'm doing it. I hope that we can play some sports.
But again, we are in the prairies. We're outside all the time. You know, people that are in my family in Toronto can't understand how much open space there is out here. Like, it just doesn't fit.
It wouldn't
get
it.
No. That's what people love about the prairies. This is the space.
Yeah.
It's coming in handy.
That's why we're here. Yeah. Okay. Well, coming up in hour two, again, Mike Morreale, commissioner of the CEBL. CFL, great. Ticats, great. They've got huge news. They plan to expand into Calgary, and we also hear Montreal as well. They're headed toward a successful third season with the CEBL. Also, Garrick Jones, the commish, Stampeders, Blue Bombers alum, as well as the National Football League. He's got a petition going to be the GM of the Texans. We'll talk about that. And for the rest of you, we will see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain right here on Game Plus TV and Facebook Live. You screwed up, Clark!
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.